Dark Side of the Ring have finally done it. It's the last episode of this series, I understand, and they must have been listening to me for the last few weeks. I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure they already have these on the slate. But I have been saying for many weeks now, it's okay, and I like seeing these wrestling biopics, but generally it's the same thing. I'll say it again, at the risk of repeating myself. Wrestler wants to be a wrestler. Desperate to be a wrestler, becomes a wrestler, learns his or her trade, becomes very popular, is then beset by personal demons or something else, stops being a wrestler, either becomes better or has a redemptive situation or doesn't and either dies or is currently in the situation where we're still waiting for them to redeem themselves. That's been the situation and the arc for weeks. And I've been saying for weeks, there are lots of other things that we could talk about, you know, wrestling promotions. And that's what they've done. It's a wrestling promotion, in fact, two, that is linked to a specific situation called Black Saturday. It's not a sale at Georgia Championship Wrestling or the WWF, but they're both involved. Black Saturday, in this instance, is the day that fans tuned in to Georgia Championship Wrestling for the Saturday morning programming and found Vince McMahon was there. And the WWF had taken over. And they were showing matches from the WWF. Now, fans knew that. Fans rebelled against that. Fans hated that. But there was an enormous amount of stuff around that, which some fans won't know. Now, fans like me have read up on this, and it's an extraordinary situation, but it really does lay bare the business of wrestling and the NWA. And it makes for a really interesting programme, one that's more involved than just wrestler was good, wrestler has drug issues, wrestler still has drug issues, wrestler is dead, wrestler is now redeemed because they found God, found the love of their life, etc. It's much more involved than that. So let me take you through it. We've got what is called here a behind-the-scenes showdown of titans of the industry, and they're right. Now, it does all depend which talking heads you get on this programme. And when you get Jimmy Cornette, James E. Cornette, steeped in wrestling, calls himself a wrestling historian on this program, and quite right too, I would say. When you get him, you know you're onto a good situation because he's got the knowledge and the turn of phrase. Dave Meltzer is on there. He doesn't really add very much, to be honest. He just sort of tells us what happened, really. And you've got people who were involved at the time. Right. This is Georgia Championship Wrestling, which was very strong at this time. It's 1983. And the NWA is really some people would call it a cartel. It's a group of promoters. And Vince McMahon Jr., who's taken over from Senior in the WWF, on the Northeast Coast, is in the NWA. Now, the NWA was a really febrile and watch-your-back collection of businessmen, who, of course, work together in a very I'll work with you while it suits me situation. So you've got different territories lending their top wrestlers to other territories for the business to keep going, but then there was an enormous amount of business shenanigans taking place. And what they talk about was that a big player here, and what they talk about a lot, is Jim Barnett, who was part of Georgia Championship Wrestling and is now a shady figure in wrestling. He was incredibly influential in that he wasn't a usual kind of wrestling promoter. Love Fine Arts was, in the business, openly gay. And that was something which, I'm not saying it was frowned upon, but they mention it here, and quite right too, was frozen out and was part of the business, frozen out of the business, went to Australia for many years, came back stronger, became a real power broker, could pick the phone up and put an end to your career, did, and if you, for lots of people, and if you want to read a specific story around that, read the book called Chokehold, which has a lot of Jim Barnett in it and raises the issue that if you ever look for pictures or for videos, you won't see him. Now, there are pictures out there. There aren't many videos. This program has a video, albeit a short clip, of Jim Barnett talking to us. And that's the first time I have ever heard him speak. So, it was cutthroat. Barnett was close to Ted Turner, who had the TBS satellite network. And Georgia was on that. They interview Tommy Rich, former NWA champ, of course, coughing a spit. You know, he wasn't there for long, but it was a very popular show, he tells us. And one of the bookers there, in fact, the booker, was Ollie Anderson. We do see his son. Now, he's caught, who's interviewed extensively, actually, and gives Ollie's side of it, because a lot of people didn't like Ollie. More of that in a minute, but Cornette says he was an intelligent man. He was a great wrestler. He had a real reputation as a booker. And Joe Hamilton, who was Nick Patrick, I know him mainly as a ref, but he was a wrestler as well, he said. He said, you either loved him or hated him. Well, you didn't love him. Now, there's quite a lot of people saying that Ollie Anderson is not really someone who you could befriend very well. You wouldn't go out with him for drinks and all that kind of stuff. His son provides the other view, which is great, that he's a man of his word and that he was tucked up business-wise by other businessmen. So, let me take you through the story. By the way, Ollie's son, called Brian, says that Ollie now has MS, multiple sclerosis, can't do very much for himself. Very sad story. Back to this story, though, the Briscoes are involved. And Jerry Briscoe is interviewed, of course. And they bought stock in Georgia. Cornette takes us to all of the owners, which include Ollie Anderson. And Ollie was a bit concerned about where the money was going. Now, Jim Barnett's the main owner here. And he said, Briscoe said, I wasn't getting a dividend. And I was concerned that Barnett was getting the money. So Ollie was the only one to really face him with it. And Barnett used to go to Hong Kong regularly to get his suits made. And while he was out there in Hong Kong, Ollie got into the offices and into the books. Found out that quite a lot of money was going to things they didn't really like. And Louise Cochran, who is interviewed and was an employee there, giving that really good inside info, says that Ollie told her, well, I'm now taking over. Now, Louise Cochran provides another view, which is that Georgia Championship Wrestling, which looked like it was doing really well, was actually in debt in 83. Because there are other things you have to do, pay people off. You have to create guarantees for or deposits for booking arenas. Get your marketing right. And all of that, and pay wrestlers, all of those things. So she says they were in debt. Now, that's not a common view on this program. Vince then, because Barnett was kind of forced out, hires Barnett, and they both at the same time resign from the NWA. This is seismic. It starts to break up the NWA, really. Bob Roop is then interviewed. Now, Bob Roop features in the Chokehold book, actually, as well. But he says that Vince offered TV stations more money if they dropped Georgia Championship Wrestling. Buildings were... They'd ring buildings and they'd say, sorry, I can't do business with you. Anonymous tips came from the police and they arrested people for things that weren't, it seems, actually happening. So he said that these things had never happened before. Bryant tells us these things had never happened before. Now, we were asked, it's asked on the programme, who did this come from? You know, the implication being that the WWF were involved in this, or maybe Barnett was involved in this. And of course, they say, and quite rightly, we have no evidence of that. And quite right, and I have to stress that, there is no evidence. What they do know is that Vince McMahon got a lot of talent from other territories, like Hulk Hogan from the AWA, for instance. So the Briscoes are concerned about Ollie Anderson's work and they're not getting the money that they wanted. And of course, Bryant, his son, says, as I said before, there are things to do. You need operating capital. So once there was more money, people would get their dividend, as he said. And my father wanted that because he was one of the ones getting a dividend. Seems like that checks out to me, actually. Now, they wanted to have a meeting with the stockholders without Ole being there. That meeting was called off. I think some stockholders couldn't make it. So they go to have a drink. Ole turns up and they have it out. They have a meeting where they say, where there's an agreement that Ole will pay them a certain amount of money. And also an agreement that if they want to sell their stock, they will offer to sell it to each other first. So other people, hint, hint, WWF, can't get involved. He then, I think, opens his forehead and wants to do this and write it in blood. And they all do. The two Briscoe brothers and Ole. So then they're not getting the money that they wanted. And the Briscoes shop their shares. Vince buys their shares. Says, can you provide me with more than 50% of the stock? They say, we believe we can. Ring Barnett. And at the end of those deals, cha-ching, Vince owns 67% of the company. And now just turns up. When Ole's not there, he's at a funeral, turns up and says, I own the company. We then see Ole being interviewed from a while ago. He held a grudge for quite some years. It's clear. I think his son also says he did. And Vince just told everyone they were fired, including Louis. Says, well, I was fired. Fired me. Told the wrestlers, we'll be in contact if we can use you, but you're fired. And of course, on that day, Black Saturday, the fans hated seeing the WWF there. Now, Tommy Mitch now makes a good point. They not only wanted to see the wrestlers they knew, but the two styles were different. The style from Georgia Wrestling and the WWF style was different. And that's something the fans didn't like either. It's a really good point to make. Now, Ole wants to start his own promotion. Goes to Ted Turner and says, please give me some space on your station. Ted Turner gives him 7:30, should I say, a.m. on a Saturday morning. He's got Gordon Solie with him, who was, of course, the announcer from Georgia. So he brings him with him. And Vince starts not to do so well. It's 7:30 in the morning, but fans are tuning in. And as James Cornette says, and it's a really good angle on this, it's probably the only time that Vince McMahon has failed in this way. He sells his stock to Jim Crockett for $1 million, but then he uses that $1 million to help him to launch WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania. And that is a turning point. I would suggest that will start, that the turning point happened way before that. But that's a really big nodal point in the WWF becoming the only wrestling promotion in America. It's a great episode, this. So many ins and outs, such good stuff about the business. Not so much about the wrestling, but the business of wrestling is the reason why you're watching shows every Saturday night. That's the reason why you're watching the WWE. It's the reason why you're watching the AEW. We know why now. The curtain's been pulled back. At this point, we still had kayfabe and people didn't know. This lays it bare. And it makes me want to watch Georgia Championship Wrestling, which I will do. What a great episode to end this season on. And it makes me want to see the next. But more programs like this, please. Less programs like he was a wrestler. He did well. He didn't do so well for drugs or something else. He's now dead. Or he's now still struggling. Less of that and more of these. Something like the AWA might be good. Ta-ta.